Welcome back to Because We're Curious by Dance Pod with Skånes Danstheater. My name's Kit, and in this final interview of the series, I'm talking to Nadine McKenzie. If you're listening in order, then you'll have just heard Samuel talking to Hilda about the intellect of dancing and what it is to be a brain in a body and a body with a brain. Not being afraid of effort and rigour, and how just doing it can inspire more curiosity. Curiosity as a kind of sensation-seeking. And the interdependence of being a choreographer and performing for others. How they can feed one another and the different phases of curiosity, needing others and needing time alone. Our final guest, Nadine McKenzie, describes herself as a performing artist living with a disability. She is based in Cape Town, South Africa, and is the co-founder and current artistic director of the integrated dance company Unmute, as well as the festival manager and curator of the Arts Ability Festival. She's performing her solo 21 Questions at TANS Congress 2022. 21 Questions is a performance that merges visual art, sound and dance in the form of an autobiographical solo that challenges the trapped mentality that society continues to use in order to categorise persons living with disability. Through personal stories, Nadine uses her disability as a catalyst to open a dialogue around questions of belonging and independence, especially for people living with disabilities in a non-inclusive society. Nadine has been living with a disability since she was a toddler. Throughout her life, from childhood to adulthood, she has been faced with strange questions that assume and suggest that persons with disabilities are a different species to humans. 21 Questions engages with these stereotypes through documented questions that people pose to persons with disabilities. In this interview, Nadine speaks to me about how she was inspired to start dancing while watching another dancer who used a wheelchair, and how she now tries to use the platform she has to share her own and others' stories. She speaks about the responsibility of being an artist. We talk a lot about questions, and in particular negative questions in relation to her solo. And she shares how through her company she wanted to meet people who weren't coming to the theatre by performing in their own backyards through her company Unmute and her festival Arts Ability. There's a lot in this conversation that feels like it might belong to some other theme than curiosity. Nadine is very driven and does so many things that she feels the need to do. She is compelled to speak up, to make change and to put dance in new places. Nadine uses dance to make the world a little bit better. She is an activist by being an artist. But I think the sense of exploration and adventure and the way she has created new ways of working in her community can certainly be seen under the umbrella of curiosity, or at least in relation to it. Hers is a curiosity that gets stuck in and really makes a difference. I hope you agree and enjoy listening. I always think that it's better when people get to introduce themselves rather than me describing who they are. So I don't know if you want to take a little time to just introduce who you are and what you do.
So my name is Nadine McKenzie. I'm based in Cape Town, and I am a performing artist, a performing artist living with a disability. And I have been performing and creating work professionally for about, I'd say, roughly 15 years now. And I've been based in Cape Town for my entire career, my entire life. And I work for Unmute Dance Company, an inclusive dance company also based in Cape Town that I co-founded with three other colleagues of mine in 2013. And I'm currently the artistic director of Unmute. and also the festival manager and curator of a inclusive festival also founded by us called the Artsability Festival.
So a very busy person, clearly. So thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today. It's really a pleasure to meet you here. Now, if we start at the beginning with your meeting with dance, I was just wondering, how did you begin dancing? And what was the moment you decided to make a life from dancing?
My first experience with dance, I was in school. I think I was about 11 or 12 years old. And one of my teachers came to me and she said, there's this lady at the school that came to the school. She would love to teach dance with a few learners. Would you be interested? And I looked at her and I was like, what is this lady talking about? And it was ballroom and Latin American dance. And for a moment, I was confused. And then, of course, I later asked, but how? And she said she works with artists, well, with dancers with mixed abilities. So it's inclusive. So she has dancers with and without disabilities. But please come to the class and just have a look what it's about. I went because she asked me so nicely. and then I started going for classes. I think I did it for about a year or 2 years, and then I stopped. Mainly because it was nice, it was fun, but I don't think it was really my thing. And then when I was in my last year of school in grade 12, another company by the name of Remix Dance Company, which was also an inclusive company in South Africa at the time, they did a performance at our school. And I think what hit me was when the performance that they did, for a moment, I forgot that one of the dancers were in a wheelchair. And that was the moment for me. I think I realized that anybody can dance. And it's just a matter of, I think, our thinking and what we see and how we see the world and how we see things. I was so mesmerized by the performance that I just saw artists, I just saw dancers on stage. And I was really inspired by the work, and I started going to their open classes every week. And I did a production with the company later, and I was asked to be part of their training, and I agreed. And then later joined the company a couple of years later. And yeah, I was there for a few years until they sadly closed down. And then we were without work for about a year or so. Sorry. And it was when we spoke, myself and my colleagues who founded Unmute, when we were speaking about inclusive work in South Africa and the scarcity of spaces and artists working in this way and why that is. And there were so many things that came up. And that is one of the reasons why we did the production called Unmute. We wanted to speak about these stories, about the lack of access, the lack of inclusion for persons with disabilities, and why that is. And we did the production. It did really well. And then we decided, why not just make this a little bit more full time? And we registered the company as a company. And then we started creating works and educational projects to not only do performances, but also go back to the schools and communities where the work is not easily accessed, the arts specifically, and where people don't know about inclusive dance.
We're going to return to the idea of the community work that you do and sort of the idea of what is inclusive dance. But before we do that, just continuing on from your meeting and introduction with dance, do you have any sense of how significant and vital dance is for you in your life?
Most definitely. I think dance has, I mean, we always say that so many artists use, we didn't choose dance, but dance chose us. And I definitely feel that I was chosen for this because it's changed my life specifically in a huge way, where as a teenager, I was typical teenager who just wanted to do my own thing, didn't really care about a lot of things. But I think through dance, I've learned and I've realized the importance of the platform I've been given through dance and how I can use that platform to voice my own experiences and experiences of other people as well. So I'd say dance is extremely vital for me, and it's also given me the freedom of being able to do what I love and at the same time speak about things that are important and also have fun. I mean, dance is also quite fun to do, and it keeps us active.
Yes.
So it played a huge part in my life, and I'd say it's something that I don't think I'll easily be able to give up.
Yeah, I can imagine. I read somewhere, I think in another interview with you, you said that dance had played a huge role in your independence and your confidence and your acceptance of self and others as well.
Yeah, I think growing up, I didn't realize how much the community where I grew up in was accepting of me as a young person with a disability. And this realization came in much later in my life, where we started doing works in schools and communities, where I realized that a lot of young people with disabilities, they do struggle with confidence. And they do struggle with feeling accepted in our communities, in our society. And it was in some way a reflection for me of where I come from and the life I've been able to live through dance, that has given me a voice and a space where I can speak and feel like I belong somewhere. So, yeah, definitely. I think if it was not for that, I'm not sure that I would have felt as confident about who I am as an individual, specifically as an individual living with a disability.
That's amazing. So dance has been a kind of home, like a place where you can feel belonging and where you can offer that belonging to other people as well.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
That's beautiful. If I say the word curiosity, how do you characterize curiosity? What does that word bring to mind for you?
I think for me, it would be the sense of wanting to know more. I have a little nephew. He's 3 years old. And it just reminded me of a toddler, of someone that young that is always on the lookout of finding new things and exploring what is around us. Exploring and wanting to find out more about whether it's yourself or about your surroundings.
So that kind of, yearning for knowledge and exploration.
And then in life, personally, because I'm an outdoor person, I love being outdoors. I am also obsessed with adrenaline. So I love to do crazy things. So for me, I'd say on a personal level, that urge of always wanting to explore life and I think, just being on the edge,
To explore the extremes of life.
Yes.
So you're a real explorer and adventurer, I get the sense. Has there ever been an artist or a piece of work that's particularly ignited curiosity in you?
I've seen so many works of so many artists and so many of them that I've really I found inspiring the late Dave Toole.
Fantastic performer. Yes.
Amazing. He's one of the artists that has really inspired me watching his works. And someone I've recently, well, not that recent, but over the past three, four, five years, worked with an artist from, well, he lives in Switzerland, and we've had the privilege of working together a couple of times. His work also really inspires me. And before working with him, I've never really felt the need to speak about topics related to disability. I just wanted to be an artist, be a dancer, and speak about anything and everything but disability. And working with him have sort of inspired me to speak more on topics on disability or related to it, because I do feel that there is a need for it. And not just for us to tell our stories, but also to, I think, in some way, create an awareness and educate society, but at the same time also inspire other artists or other people with disabilities who might not feel comfortable in speaking about certain things.
One kind of such work that does speak about your experience as a disabled person is 21 Questions, which you will be performing at TANS Congress this year. And 21 Questions, it's an autobiographical solo, and it combines visual art, sound, dialogue, dance, and it explores a trapped mentality with which society still pigeonholes people with disabilities, and challenges some of the stereotypes about disability with questions that people have actually asked. I watched your piece in the middle of my own thinking about curiosity in preparation for this episode, and it struck me that there is another side to curiosity. There is a negative side to curiosity, because curiosity is often expressed in questions.
Mm-hmm.
And in your piece, 21 Questions, the questions that you're working from, they are invasive, they are inappropriate, yeah. They are in a way violent.
Mm-hmm.
They are aggressions, I guess. And that's a very different kind of curiosity. How was it to work from those questions that are so personal and so invasive?
It was extremely difficult. For one, I am quite a private person. It's weird because I'm a performer. But it was quite challenging, and it was the first solo work I did where I was speaking about my experience as a disabled artist. And it's things that I struggle with in general in life, with being asked these kind of questions. So it was definitely extremely difficult to unpack that in the work as well, and how that has made me felt and had an effect on my life as well. It's still questions I still get quite often. And it made me also want to speak about it more, because I'm not the only one experiencing this. There's so many other people that go through the same sort of experience, the same things, and being asked these, very invasive questions. I think people not realizing what they are actually asking or saying.
Yeah, it made me think about the kinds of questions that we ask. And I kind of started to wonder, how do we ask better questions? Or what are the questions we should ask each other?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any kind of response to the question of, like, how do we ask better questions?
I think for me, it's the intention behind the question. I think for me, sometimes it's not the question, it's just the matter of the way in which it's asked, or that given moment where you're at and when it's being asked. I've had some instances where I've been asked some of these questions, but of course the setting, the space, and the way in which those questions were asked were much different. And so that allowed me the space to then answer the question in a comfortable way. But of course, most of the time it's just, so what happened to you? And of course, you wouldn't just walk up to anybody and ask them, you know, yeah, what happened to you? Or, yeah.
I've always been told to ask what you need to know and not what you want to know. It's really kind of to put that barrier there. Are there questions that you wish people would ask you?
I don't know. I think it would just be questions about, genuine questions about who you are as a person, and not about why you have a disability or why you're using a wheelchair. Or I think it would just be, I think any other questions of interest you would ask any other person in a normal way or normal setting, whatever that is.
Now, on this topic of questions, and like I said, curiosity, often people describe it as being about questioning, or it can be expressed as questions. Are there questions that you ask yourself when you're dancing or when you're creating? Do you work with questions in a more positive sense?
Especially when creating work. I mean, for me, it's always that question of what am I trying to say with this given topic that we're working on? What is the message I would like to bring across to the audience? And during that process, I mean, this question comes up so many times. What am I doing? yeah, but that's part of the process. We never know until it's there. But I think for me, it's during the process, just the main important questions for me is, what am I saying and what am I trying to say? And of course, what would I like for whoever is watching this to take away from it?
So it strikes me there's a real outward focus to that questioning. There's a sense of how you're meeting an audience and how you're meeting other people and connecting.
Yeah, and of course, how can people connect with the work as well? I don't want to go on stage and just do a performance and just because I want to be seen or I want people to watch me, but really, how can people connect with what am I doing and what I'm trying to say?
Now, you touched earlier on your company and your festival. So Unmute Dance Company is an inclusive company of disabled and non-disabled artists in South Africa, and you produce dance works, workshops, and you also organize this annual festival, Arts Ability. Now, you've described your mission as a company to inspire the inclusion of people with disabilities within mainstream society through performances, artistic workshops, exchange programs that encourage activism and awareness of integration and accessibility. I would just like to take a moment to reflect on this key word of inclusion. What does inclusion mean to you? How do you define that notion of inclusive within a dance project?
To me, inclusion means where we can all be together in one space or coexist together, or be in a space where we can come together and see and be human beings together before anything else. And in an artistic space where we can come together as different beings with different backgrounds, different abilities, and come together and just explore and play and create and share ideas and ways of working. For me, that is what inclusion is or should be about.
And one way that you've been doing this is through the Arts Ability Festival. And I saw that you've been working with a theme, which is the acronym SHIFT, which stands for Spaces, Homes, Integration, Festival of Transformation. Could you talk a little bit about what that theme is and what that means to your work and what you're doing?
So we started with this theme, I think it was in 2019, where we questioned where we were going with the festival, specifically in Cape Town, where there's quite a bit of segregation still in specifically Cape Town, where there's the city and then there's the communities outside of the city where there's less access to things. And because we are based in the city center, most of our work, our performances happen at Artscape Theatre, where it's great because our normal theatre going audiences are always there. But what about, we were questioning ourselves, what about people who don't have access? What about somebody that are not able to get on a bus or train to get to the theater? And of course, the time it takes to travel from where they are to the city and then back home late in the evening. And this is when we decided we want to go back into our communities with the work, with performances, with workshops and residencies, and take all this work back to the communities. And we partnered with an artist from Cape Town where he does performances and a festival as well called Theatre in the Backyard. So he does performances in people's backyards. So we partnered with him and we started going around communities looking for backyards, speaking to people in different communities and explaining to them what this is about. And if they'd be interested in us using their backyard for performances. Of course, people found it very strange. Why would you want to perform in my backyard? But we started doing these performances in backyards, in the streets of communities, in community halls. And it was, I think, one of the best 2019 and the years, I think last year as well. Yes, last year we did some performances as well where we had so many people, like audiences. You cannot even count how many people there were. The streets were filled. The backyards were filled with people to a point where we had to do more performances just to have everybody be able to see and experience the works and engage with the works and ask questions and want to really know more about the performances and the artists and people really being inspired by art and seeing different people performing together, which is something through conversations with people from the communities that they hardly see. And some of them have never seen. We've had one encounter where we had a gentleman come to us after the performance, and he was so disturbed by one of the performances where he said, how can you play with the wheelchairs like that? You don't do that. And we tried to explain to him, but this is performance art. And we sat down with him and we tried to explain why we're doing what we're doing and to also encourage communities and people within the communities to start seeing people differently. And we had some instances where in one community specifically where a lady said on that day when she watched the performance, it was the first time she met her next door neighbor who has a disability. And they've never met and they've lived next door to one another for many years. So it was heartbreaking, but at the same time, so inspiring that the work could have such a great impact in our communities.
Both artistically in terms of what people get to see and how their perspectives maybe get broadened, but also socially and in terms of the community and bringing those two neighbors together. That's a fantastic impact to have on a very local level.
I think for me personally, it's why I love this work so much and why I enjoy doing what I do. It's having this impact and being able to touch people in different ways on this level with the work that we do. I think for me, that's what it's about. Yeah.
Now, to return to the idea of being a dancer, I was just wondering, in 2022, or in the current moment, what does it mean to be a dancer or performer now?
For me, I think for dancers, or for me as a dancer, I think it's such an important time as well, given where we come from and the last couple of years, just being able to tell our stories and tell more stories and tell each other's stories. I think it's still such an important time for art to be alive, for dancers to be doing work. I think the world needs it right now.
Do you think that your ideas about being a dancer and what it is to be a dancer have changed over the course of your career, or has that always held strong?
I think it has changed. I mean, when I started initially, for me, it was just something I enjoyed doing. And I think over time for me, it's become more about just what I love doing, but also being an activist and being a voice as well. And not just, you know, drifting by and just doing it because I enjoy it, but realizing the importance of the role I play as an artist and using that role and that voice to create an awareness and also be an activist.
So the other thing I just wanted to talk about was, I saw that you were doing a residency quite recently, and you documented a lot of it on the Vital Capacities website. And I know that you were exploring your relationship with your wheelchair in this instance. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that and what it was that you were curious about in this residency.
I wanted to explore, and it's something that it's a work in progress. It's something that I'd love to still work on and extend. But I wanted to explore what my chair means to me. Because I've been using a wheelchair my entire life, and how that has changed over the years, from being a young person to being a teenager, and then of course now being an adult, and how that has changed over the years for me, and how it went from being something that I've not really paid much attention to as a child. It was very playful. Sometimes friends would play with the wheelchair. And how that then, when I was in high school, what that was like, being surrounded by able-bodied young people my age. And I think for me, it was mainly about my relationship and in relation to my experience with the outside world, about my chair. I was really curious just about exploring different things, like how sometimes it can be frustrating, but at the same time, how much freedom I've been given with having my chair, and of course the fact that I do need it to get by. So yes, all of that, I just was quite interested in exploring that and seeing what comes out of it.
So Nadine, that's actually all we've got time for. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a real pleasure to meet you and to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I don't know that I can or should add much to what Nadine has said. I think what she does is so significant and important, and clearly having a transformative impact on others. Perhaps the best kind of summary, then, would be in her own words. She writes, "What interests me is telling stories, lived experiences, finding creative ways to communicate these stories and bring awareness and open dialogue around various topics. be it my own experiences and stories, or those of people and my environment around me. Samuel and I have had such an inspiring time talking to Layla, Paulina, Hilda and Nadine, and are really grateful for their time, generosity, contributions, and for how they've fed our thinking. Keep listening for a final roundup and some reflections in our concluding episode, as we try to understand the common threads and questions, and what these four voices have to say about our practice as dance artists, and what we as dancers can add to the wider discussion of curiosity.